Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you are joined by author, journalist, occasional actor Juno Dawson, London boy about town Dylan B. Jones, and this week we have a very, very special guest. Now, if you remember way, way back in season one, we had the amazing author of Queenie, Candice Carty-Williams, on. And we said, oh, Candice, you'll have to come back when we get to season three. And we have the questionable episode for the one and only time that Sex and the City discusses race. And true to her word, Candice is back with us this week. Thank you for coming back, Candice.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to get into it.
Well, before we do, because in the 18 months since we had you on last, your career, my God, we are so lucky to have you back, because I was like, I can't speak to Candice anymore, because she has frankly transcended to a plane of celebrity that I am just not on anymore.
Says you who was on actual television, do you know?
Well, there is that, but Queenie has done phenomenally well. I mean, you must be so thrilled.
It's really nice. It's still something I think I'm just, you know, I think, like, you know, it's like 6 months and I'll get used to it, and a year and I'll get used to it. And now it's just like, maybe you don't have to be used to it. Like, it's just, you know, I just have to be like, that's your job. And this is something else. Like, because you're like, you know, as you know, it that ekes into your life and you're like, who am I? Because then you sort of start being like, I'm the author of this thing. And then you have to be like, no. Like, I'm an actual person who has like independent thoughts and feelings. But it's a really good thing. And I'm only, you know, very, very grateful and very happy. But also, I worked really hard.
Can you please tell us how on earth you became to be involved with Prada?
That has been a short but very intense journey. Fashion people are quite something. So my agent, my TV and film agent, said, oh, right. Like on a Sunday, she was like, Prada are looking for someone to write their like Christmas advert. And I was like, well, okay. And I was like, why are you telling me? And she was like, well, you know, like, I think you'd be really good, so they want to talk to you. And like from that point on, it was sort of like a non-stop fashion roller coaster. It was like the most amazing thing. I was just like, at the end of that week, I was in Milan and I was like standing next to Pat McGrath, and like Steven Meisel was like shouting at people through a like video. It was like,
Sarah Jessica Parker was falling over on the runway.
Oh my God, she's fashion roadkill. I know you've been very, very hard at work on the follow-up to Queenie. Are you allowed to tell us anything about that just yet?
In terms of a sequel, I don't think I'm ready to write it yet, because I think when I write the sequel, that will be it. Because Queenie was kind of meant to be it. And everyone was like, no, don't do that. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to retire her just yet. But I know that when I write the second one, that will be like the end, probably. I say that, I always say that. And so this is a sequel. This is not a sequel. This is a whole different novel, which is about five half siblings who don't know each other at all, but something happens and they are forced to get to know each other in their adulthood, and also to try and figure out their relationship with their dad. And so, yeah, it was really like, it was quite like fun to write that one. So like, if Queenie's the book that is concerned with like mums, I would say this is the one that is like, yeah, we're gonna go in with the like single parent, where's my dad shit.
And that's due out in 2021.
I mean, I hope so, yeah.
I mean, who can say? I mean,
who knows?
Let's pray for the vaccine. We want next year, we want weddings, we want books to come out,
I just want to dance. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this week on the podcast, to business, this week we are discussing, let me get this right, season 3, episode 5, No Ifs, Ands, or Buts. Dylan, can you give us a breakdown of this week's episode?
Charlotte dates a guy who licks her face, and they talk about that. Charlotte also informs us that race is a very big issue.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Charlotte. Carrie meets Aidan Shaw for the first time, who is of course one of the biggest love interests of the show. Miranda and Steve have like a slight kind of, it's about kind of Miranda being there for Steve in his endeavours, isn't it? And Samantha dates the gorgeous Vaughn Williams, played by Asio Highsmith. And political incorrectness ensues.
Do you know, one of those slightly where I'm not entirely sure where to start. The question that we're going to attempt to answer between the three of us is, in a relationship, what are the deal breakers? Which I think that's we all, whoever we are, if we choose to date, we all have certain deal breakers. As ever, should we start with Carrie first and start with her deal breaker, which is, or rather it's Aidan's deal breaker, which is he won't go out with a smoker. Now, like some sort of awful bitch, neither would I.
See, I remembered when you talked about this and I was interested. Tell us about that.
So when my very first proper boyfriend, when I was like 24 years old, was a smoker, and I very quickly realised that I just didn't like it. And it was a time as well, so this was like around 2004 or something, and that was when everyone smoked. I mean, I think, would it be fair to say like, I don't know, do people still smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I am a smoker, and unfortunately that's something that's increased this year. I got it down to like a really good level last year, and then of course a pandemic happened. And now I'm smoking, not the most I've ever smoked, but I'm having like at least one a day, which, like, a lot of people smoke a lot more than that, but it's still not great. But yeah, I've noticed that like more and more people have dropped off in the last few years. I don't know if it's about getting older or if just less people smoke now.
I think it had a lot to do with when they brought in the smoking ban in clubs as well. I think people just could not be asked to go outside anymore. But no, I must admit, as I sort of, by and large, there were fewer people smoking. I remember actually not long before I met Max, I went out with a nice guy just for a couple of dates. And when he got out cigarettes, I was quite shocked. And I realised, oh, shit. And we slightly did have to have a conversation. And I was like, oh, no, I'm Aidan. I don't want to be Aidan. He wears double denim, including bootcut flares.
Please don't be unkind about Aidan. Aidan is so lovely. Aidan is like, he's not the person I would choose of all of them, but he's still so lovely. And the double denim is, you know, is what it is, part of him.
Also, it's back in now, double denim. Right?
Exactly. So he was like he was so progressive, like, yeah. So before his time.
I mean, the turquoise jewellery,
the leather cuff. He was wearing a leather cuff.
Yeah. I did, when he first came out in that first scene in the furniture store, I did gasp.
Me too, I wanted to cry.
In a good way.
Yeah, because also, you know, we know the journey that they went on, like even into the films. And I was just like, because I forgot that was where we first saw him. I was just sort of like, I was taken aback. I was like, oh my God, it's Aidan. Like it's like seeing a celeb, weirdly.
Yeah, me too. I also love, like, I really like the scene with Carrie and Stanford when they like sort of hoddle down to the furniture store and they're like giggling like school children. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but I forget how selfish Carrie is. I think I'd forgotten because I haven't watched it for a while. So she was like, I'm not coming. And then Stanford was like, oh yeah, but the guy who runs the store is straight. And she was like, I'm on my way. And it was like, well, can you just support your mate, please? Stanford's always bloody supporting you. That's what I forgot I don't like about Carrie. My God. I
think there is a whole episode of this podcast where we just talk about Carrie's shady behaviour towards Stanford. It culminates, I think, in season 6, where she sends him out of the room so she can talk just to her girlfriends.
What?
Yeah, oh she does. God. When she's pondering moving to France with the Russian.
As much as we, because I love Aidan as well, as much as we love Aidan, I didn't agree with him in this episode.
I didn't either.
Yeah, you didn't either. Are you a smoker?
Not all the time, but I also, I don't really care if someone, and if I smoke, it's not cigarettes, but I don't really care if someone smokes. It's not really, do you know what I mean? Like, don't do it in my house,
right?
But like, do it on my balcony or do it outside. But I have no like problem with it.
I did agree with. I think I understand people having a problem with it, but I also really agreed with Carrie when she said you should quit smoking because you want to, not because a man tells you to. And I felt like it was out of character. What annoyed me was about the storyline is I felt like it was out of character for her. I feel like she wouldn't have, but she did. And I felt like the reason for that was because the people who ran the show were, like, being told, like, your protagonist can't smoke anymore.
So would I go on a date with a smoker? Yeah, because until you meet them, you don't know if you're going to get on with them. What I would do is I would never say, and, like, when I was going out with that guy, Adam, I didn't say to him, oh, my God, you smirk. I'm out of here. Check, kind of. But I think I would probably then, you know, either internally in my head or to my friends say, oh, that's weird, you know, I've not really been out with a smoker for ages, you know, kind of. But it certainly wouldn't be a deal breaker, and you can probably predict what my next question is going to be, which is, what would your deal breakers be?
Okay, I know what mine is quite easily, actually. So because I've got quite bad cleanliness OCD, like genuinely, if someone refused to like take their shoes off in my house, or they were like, I don't adhere to like how clean you are, then I'd be like, well, then don't come back. Like genuinely, like that's the sort of thing that like gets me really like pissed off. Because I think like, do you know what I mean? Like I've seen these conversations often where it's like, why should I have to take my shoes off in your house? And it's like, because it's the rules of my house, because it's my house. Do you know what I mean? So that's it. My stuff is always around cleanliness, but around like personal behaviors is like, yeah, do what you want. I can move around it.
That's interesting because that's like a respect thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and I think perhaps not a complete deal breaker, but something that I really, really hate is just lateness. Like, if someone's like always like half an hour late, like constantly, a few times is fine. But I haven't really thought about it.
Mine is, and having had a lot of therapy around this, it's men who, in dating terms anyway, is men who can't communicate. So like guys who are like, oh, when are we going out next? Oh yeah, maybe at the weekend. What do you mean maybe at the weekend?
Oh yeah, like, you said this.
Yeah, are we going out at the weekend or are we not going out the weekend? Like I want to make plans with my friends if we're not going to be going out at the weekend. So I can't, that isn't, and it's funny because my first thought would be to say, oh no, you know, I couldn't go out with a Tory, or I couldn't go out with like a crazy Jordan Peterson conspiracy theorist or something. But actually, while that is also true, I think what has driven me the most insane historically has been men dicking with my time.
I need to think about my, I'm not happy because like even, like I don't even really care that much about lateness. Well, obviously like, I don't, like, I didn't say it because it's a bit dark, but obviously, like, if someone's violent, that's a deal breaker. Like, but I think, and I think, like, I respond, and not just, actually, yeah, that can be mine, not necessarily just towards me, but any kind of hint of violence or aggression towards other people.
Yeah.
I respond really, really badly to violence, and I just hate it. So, yeah, that can be mine.
So your bar is relatively low, like, quite good to date.
I think, I wonder if there are, like, universal deal breakers. Maybe there should be, but unfortunately, obviously, we know that some people have to live with violence, but I wonder if there are I think certainly there must be, individuals must have their own weird personal deal breakers, and unfortunately for Carrie, Aidan's is smoking, but he is quite, I mean, I'm a huge, of Carrie's men, Aidan is the one that I would choose for myself. I'm Sir out there that I need an Aiden to kind of keep my feet on the ground. I remember first seeing this when I was like 19 or something and just being like, oh my God, he's so gorgeous and so masculine in a very kind of stereotypically, like he rips wood from old train cars and repurposes them into thumpingly masculine chairs, which don't really suit Carrie's flat, but
he's masculine in a very calm way as well. Like, you know, when he's like, feel this leather, and he's like very gentle with her like tiny child's hands because she's so fucking small, and he's like so delicate with her. And I was always like, that's so nice. And I think like part of that whole thing, I can see where people are like, oh, I like a man to make me feel like petite, because like he is like really massive but also so soft with it. Aiden is great. Aiden is just fucking great.
Let's take this opportunity to take a tiny break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi there, welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we are joined by author Candice Carty-Williams, and we are discussing season 3, episode 5, No Ifs, Ands or Buts. We've dealt with Carrie, there's nothing else to say. So let's move on to the other three. And I suppose this episode, and it's interesting that none of us remembered this was Aiden's first week. And that's because maybe the big headline is this is always going to be known as the one with Samantha and her jailer looking dresses. And I mean, I will say this, Candice, that last week we watched the most outrageously offensive episode potentially in the full 6-year history of Sex and City, which is the one where Carrie denies bisexuality and then makes out with Alanis Morissette. So anything where she didn't literally accuse bisexual people of being greedy is a bonus. But this one certainly woke Charlotte was firing on all five cylinders. So the plot as we have it is Samantha and her friends are eating at a trendy restaurant, which is run by the very beautiful Adina, who is played by Sundra Oakley. And they are enjoying her okra, which I've never had. Is it like asparagus?
No, it's not. It's something entirely different. There's a bit where she says, like, okra will be the new edamame. And it's like, it won't. But also, like, okra is not like that. I had to have okra in, like, loads of Caribbean food growing up. And it's just not for me.
And while they are enjoying their dinner, Adina introduces the girls to her brother, Siobhan, who, as Dylan pointed out, is played by the incredibly handsome Asia Highsmith. And Samantha begins dating him, which causes huge consternation with Adina, who does not want Siobhan to be going out with a white woman. And they attempt this sort of reverse racism storyline, which I don't know if they were trying to flirt with edginess.
I think the most cringe thing about it is just they thought Michael Patrick King, the white man who wrote it, thought that he was being so fucking clever and edgy, didn't he? But it's just like...
It doesn't land. So the thing with this is... Sorry, I have so many thoughts and feelings. The thing that struck me when I rewatched this was that when they first meet, throughout with him, Samantha is so... uncharacteristically coy all the time, and it's I was a bit like, when I watched it, I was like, wait, what, why is she being like this? Like, and it was, I was like trying to figure out why she was doing that for so long or what that meant politically. And I think it just must be an accidental comment on like the white woman's innocence versus like the black man's like power or the black man's like masculinity or just like his blackness in general, because I have never ever seen her be so like demure. No, but what, it was like, why? Like, what are you, like, you're obviously saying something, but I don't understand like what her direction was for that episode. It was like, oh, just be coy. And it's like, and she's never like that ever again, ever.
I'm running through the many, many conquests of Samantha. And no, she's not. I think that the nearest possibly is Richard Wright, who she meets in quite an antagonistic way because she applies for a job with him. But no, yeah, she's weirdly... Yes, yeah, demure, I think, is the word. She's so passive.
Yes.
Incredibly passive.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's, I mean, in a strange way, you know, this hints at a much bigger conversation topic about Sex and the City, which... was astonishingly poor when it came to representation of minority people, in that, you know, we started out, Dylan and I, when we started the podcast, we started, you know, how many people of colour speak in any given episode. And more often than not, the depressing answer was none.
Zero.
And I think we just gave up in the end because it was always none. So
it was always none. So what was the point? Kind of. And so this three and a bit seasons in, we have the first significant speaking roles for people of colour. It's taken us 3 years, and now we have two significant black characters in Siobhan and Adina. There is an amazing piece that I read last night in Vanity Fair, where in 2018, a plucky journalist tracked down Sundra Oakley and said, what was your experience like working on this episode? Oakley has nothing but praise for the cast, who she said she going in as a guest star can be quite difficult because the cast is very well established. But she said they were all lovely, particularly Kim Cattrall was incredibly welcoming and was full of compliments about her performance. She was incredibly young. I think Oakley was like 19, 20 years old when she shot this.
What?
She's great in it. I looked her up and she hasn't been in much... as an actor, but I saw that she worked on Moana as like a member of the crew, which is interesting.
Amazing. She's just taken it. She's just gone behind the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
So hang on. So she filmed this episode 20 years ago. Oh, at the time, the native New Yorker was in her early 20s. And interestingly, when she was cast for the role, Adina was envisaged of being in her mid 30s. But then she does talk about that she felt, as a young black actress, she wasn't able to challenge what was in the script. She says, as an actor, I was very, very happy to have the job. I was excited for the opportunity. There was no one negative experience on the set. And then she says, I respect the cast. They made me feel very, very welcome. It was only after, when she saw the episode, that she realised that the whole reverse racism thing was... cringeworthy, yes, but also problematic on a deeper level as well. When Dylan and I talked about this episode, we said that there was a real sense of cringe. Like, the cringe was real, sort of in the way that Samantha, Charlotte and Miranda and Carrie talk about and how notable it is that Samantha is dating a black man. And that was something else that I couldn't quite get my head around. Are they seriously trying to tell us that in however long they've been friends, that none of them have ever dated a black guy or a Asian guy? Or is that what we're to take away from this episode, that they've only ever dated white men?
I mean, yeah, because also when Miranda... Well, I think they kind of maybe realised the error of their ways when Miranda dates Robert later on down the line, and they don't talk about his blackness as much. It's just that he is very... They've changed blackness, swapped it out for just, like, very good-looking. And so she's like, how can this very good-looking man like me? So, no, it's like, it's just, like, a whole different thing. It's just a different way of talking about the fact that he is different to her. But, yeah, I think that is genuinely what we are to understand, that this is the first time this has happened, and so it is notable, and they talk about it in this way that is very strange and very, and again, I think it's like the writers thought they were being clever by being like, we won't have Samantha say the offensive thing, we'll have like Charlotte come and undercut her. And so woke Charlotte is the one who is like, you can't say that. He's African American. And it's like Samantha being like, I wasn't going to say that. And it's like, please stop. Like, please stop doing what you're doing.
And it feels as well, I wonder if as writers, their hands were a bit forced. It had been pointed out even at the time that for New York, the show was astonishingly white. And so it was almost like, right, this year we have to do race. And, but I've come up with this new thing. What if it was a black woman being racist? Like, gotcha. But then that doesn't work, because we all know, and I think as a party line, there is no such thing as reverse racism. So, I mean, in that situation, even with Samantha entering Siobhan's world, which was a very stereotypical notion of the world of a black man in that.
Oh, God, you know, when they were, like, walking up the queue to that club, I was just like, oh,
so tired already of this situation. Yeah.
This is just not good.
Sam still has the privilege in that situation. She is still, you know, decked out head to toe in designer gear, and, you know, it's all very novel to her, and she's very a tourist in that world, and she expects to be able to enter Siobhan's workplace essentially without any sort of challenges, and she literally jumps the queue. It's a metaphor.
Oh, another thing I wondered about was I found it, when Adina said that very assertive thing to Samantha, where she just said, didn't she, like, I'm not comfortable with my brother dating a white woman. I remember certainly on the first time watching that, because I didn't know as much perhaps about like race and especially race in America, I found that line kind of unbelievable. Like, would she have said that? Or was it just like a kind of narrative tool for the episode because they wanted to flip things? What do we think? I don't actually know.
I don't know if she would have. I don't know, because obviously, like, I've been aware of millions of interracial relationships, and I can't imagine having heard. I've never heard that happen. I've never heard that happen, and I think it's this thing, which I think, you know, it's obviously like a deeper problem in society, but I think this understanding that like a black woman is so assertive and so aggressive and so powerful that she's just going to say what she's going to say and doesn't care who's upset about it. And I think I think it would be very surprising for a very young woman to say to someone like Samantha, I have a problem with you dating my brother. But I don't understand that. And I think they've put upon this character who at the beginning seems so, and I think they try to do this flip, right, where it's like she's so nice and she's so charming and she's like a self-starter and she's got them all into her restaurant, and then suddenly she's like, I don't want you fucking going anywhere near my brother. It's like, well, where did that come from? But it's like, that's the black woman thing, right, just being so strong and so uncaring about what other people think, what other people's feelings, because like they're just so angry that they can't even see them, that like she would just do that and be so challenging. And it doesn't, we have never had other characters like that in the show who would just be so flagrantly unkind in any way. Like, you know, the men are unkind in their, you know, their various ways all the time, but usually it's just unknowing or like breaking up with them. But this is a very different thing.
The angry black woman, as you know, it's a well-established trope in fiction. It has been applied to Serena Williams, to actresses, to, you know, but then obviously it trickles down and it affects perceptions of women in the criminal justice system, for example. So it is, I mean, on this podcast, we are very picky. That's what we're here to be. But, you know, it has big connotations, and Adina is just one more angry black woman. You know, Siobhan gets to be fairly squeaky clean in that he is like a angel who can do no wrong, and so actually again it falls to a woman to be the bitch as well, so actually there is a thread of misogyny to it as well, which isn't very nice.
It's a very strange line where Adina says, like, get your little white pussy away from my brother, and it's like, what, just the understanding of, and then obviously Samantha's retort is, you know, your big black ass, which is like, again, the two are not comparable, but also just this understanding of this, like, I was very interested in this idea of this little white pussy. Like, in what way? Like, Samantha is older than her. Samantha is an adult. Like, it's not like, I don't get it. Like, it's just saying, like, as a black woman, you are bigger. That's it. It's just, that's the understanding. Your pussy is bigger. Your ass is bigger than this little white woman pussy. Those tiny words say so much about the understanding around black women. And also, Adina wasn't, like, it was, she shouldn't have been the central focus of the episode. It should have been about Siobhan, right?
It's one of those where I wonder if there was a really early stage where they went past the point of no return. And you can see them sweating it at that brunch meeting where they kind of discuss, and Charlotte says, you know, race is very important, Charlotte, Samantha. Mm. You can almost see that in the writer's room with somebody saying, I don't know about this, Michael Patrick King. Race is very important.
And you know everyone in that room was white.
Every single person in and around that room was white.
You can just, yeah, like, from the dialogue is enough to know that.
And we know from later on that it was the cast, and I think particularly Cynthia Nixon was incredibly vocal in getting Blair Underwood cast as Dr. Robert Leeds. I don't think Dr. Robert Leeds was written as a black man, which is possibly why he's written as a rounded character, because he was probably written as white. And then they cast Blair Underwood, which is why he does come across, and why, like Candace said, his thing is he's out of Miranda's league. In fact, does anyone mention Robert's race?
Well, she watches Jules and Mimi, doesn't she, while they're dating?
That's true, yes. That's
and
true.
And it kind of ties it to that. But I think, I mean, I'll have to wait until we get to it, but I think that's kind of done in an okay way. Like, it's just kind of quite light and funny, isn't it? But I don't know.
Although we'll get to Robert Lees in due course. And
if you want me to come back for that, then I'll be there. But it's definitely, yeah, his behaviour is, you know, his behaviour is very, because we don't often get to see, sorry, no, we'll get there, but we don't often then get to see exes come back, right? And like, just be kind of weird, but like, really sexualized, but also really salty at the same time, because obviously he's like having an orgy, right? When, like,
yes.
Yeah. And anyway,
Dylan has just remembered the orgy. I think I can just see. Yes, he does have an orgy with a group of cheerleaders. That's correct.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't he? I mean, as well, that the representation of Maria in season 4 as a Latin American woman is more interesting as well, in that Maria's background is secondary to the fact she's a lesbian and that she's in a relationship with Samantha, but it doesn't do it well. And I mean, then of course we have Jennifer Hudson in the first film, which felt like very by committee. It was like, you guys, this is a film, we need to have Jennifer Hudson in this film. Well, what's she gonna do? Well, she's kind of like this magical oracle who teaches Carrie what love is, and she fulfills a different trope about black women, which is the magical sorceress. Even 10 years on from this episode, actually, their representations of black women didn't really move on particularly well, in that we have one trope, the angry black woman in Adina, and then we have the magical sorceress figure in Jennifer Hudson's Louise from Louisiana. So unfortunately, nulpois for Sex and the City.
Sadly. It's so sad as well, just thinking about how much I used to watch. Like, I used to watch it, like, I used to, it was for a really long time, for years, it was my comfort show. And like, I knew there was an absence of anyone like myself, but I was still kind of like, okay. But I mean, that was like me for most of my life. So it was kind of like, that's not a surprise. But obviously now, slowly, when I get to see more representation, I'm a bit like, yeah, that really fucks me up. Like, seeing all of these ideas of like, what a black woman should be when we do get that in something that I've watched, what, like six seasons of and two movies.
It's odd. I mean, I'm at the moment steadily and surely ploughing my way through reruns of Sister Sister on Netflix, which I was like, God, the 90s. Can you remember when you used to be able to see black people on television? But you know, you had Fresh Prince, Sister Sister, Moesha has also just come to Netflix.
Keenan and Kel.
My fiance is very into Keenan and Kel as well. But what's interesting is I wonder if back then what we lacked, and I think this episode really highlights it, is any form of integration, in that there were shows about black people, shows about white people, and never the twain should meet. And I wonder if that's what this episode was attempting to do, which was highlight perhaps something that in 2001 was genuinely a taboo, which was interracial relationships. And I wonder if that was the taboo they were attempting to discuss, but my God, they didn't discuss it in any...
So Adina's thing was that her food was fusion, right? And then at the end, it was like... And so obviously Adina was not as concerned with fusion as she should have been after all. So I think, I think that was their way of being like, let's combine the two, let's do a nice little melting pot. But yeah, it didn't work out.
That's so Sex and the City, isn't it? That like stupid kind of introducing a plot thing halfway through so that you can then tie it up with a nice little voiceover line from Carrie at the end.
And it's so disappointing. Why? Because I mean, Siobhan, I mean, also I could have looked at Siobhan for several more weeks, if I'm honest. And he was an interesting character as well. Like there was a subtlety to his character. I'm not entirely sure what he saw in Samantha.
There was a very brief moment of Siobhan and Samantha which I liked, which was when they were in bed and she said, "Where did you get your earrings?" And he said, "Tiffany's," and they're both like, "Oh, Tiffany's, yeah." And I really liked that bit. I think just because it was like two people talking about, like, a straight couple talking about their own jewellery in, like, a fun way, which, but, like, you know, that was, like, one tiny, teeny bit that I liked.
Because maybe had this not been a story of the week, they could have dealt with it with some sort of nuance whereby, actually, we saw the relationship getting gradually serious. I mean, I don't want to name any names from my life. Someone that I know has just had to break up with his partner of several years, because she's Bengali and her parents have made it very, very clear that enough is enough. It is time for you to meet a nice Bengali man. And it's really heartbreaking and it's really sad. And, you know, they've been together for nearly 3 years. It's not good. And it's awful, but... And there is a story there, and potentially there was a story with Siobhan and Samantha, but it certainly wasn't one that they could do justice in 25 minutes. And maybe that's why they relied on this very crass character coming in and being like, you know, get your little white pussy away from my brother. And that's because, like, I guess they had to slam on the brakes to deal with it in 20 minutes. But it's a shame because there was potentially an interesting storyline there, but it certainly wasn't visible in this episode.
I just saw Stanford and the Dolls in my notes.
Oh my God, I forgot about Stanford and the Dolls.
There's quite a lot to process in this episode, isn't there? I mean, and this is an example of like, this episode was written by a middle-aged gay white man, and he handled the race stuff really badly, which is not a surprise, but he handled Stanford and the Dolls really well, I thought. So the lesson there is write about what you know, I think. But yeah, I liked it. Like, it's always nice to see Stanford dating.
It really is. It's really important that he has a life outside of just being Carrie's accessory. Like, it's really... Yeah, totally. I remember finding that when I was watching it. I always found it really upsetting and very confusing that, as you say, he'd be like sent out of the room and it would be like, no, come back in when I'm ready. And he would literally just disappear at a moment's notice when she'd speak to a man at a club that he'd taken her to. I remember just being like, wait, where's he gone? Why is he just standing behind her? It was really strange.
I'm sad that they couldn't make it work, that the dolls, the creepy dolls were a deal breaker. I think I would be quite scared of their little blinky eyes as well, if I'm honest. I can't lie. Their rattling eyeballs was like something from American Horror Story.
I went to a guy's house once who had like a soft toy of every Disney character.
Disney gays are a thing. That's like a noted internet trope, is the Disney gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I think it's quite sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I didn't
yeah.
Quite freaked out. But I was a bit kind of, I was a bit taken aback.
I preferred the Stanford plotline when he was big tall for you. Was that season
that was
two?
Sweet.
When did we do? Is that season three or is that season two?
That
I can't remember
two.
Where we are now.
That was two, where he goes to the underwear. The
yeah,
underwear
and he feels really special. I love that one. Whereas, yeah, I agree that it's nice to see Stanford coming into his own and getting his own little subplots. And that kind of meant that Charlotte had to sit the week out with her face licking. And I don't know. I think work Charlotte would have something to say about he raped my face, because he didn't. But she didn't consent to having her chin sucked.
Oh, yeah, and she said that right after the remark about Siobhan as well. So she said that, and then she was like, he raped my face. And I was like, oh, my God. Charlotte, just shut up.
No. Stop. Is there anything worth saying about Steve and Miranda with Steve's
half-court
ambitions?
Shot? Like, Steve would be my number one if I had
really?
To...
Interesting.
I said this as well.
Because I think he's really kind and like he's ambitious in his own way, in his own time. And he's just, like, very excitable about life in a way that we don't see very often. And actually, in a way that I think does exist in real life. And I think that he's just, like... Yeah, I just think Steve is, like... I think he just made me laugh. And he's, like, quite patient. He's very patient, which is nice.
We've been saying, Juno and I have been saying, going through series three, which is like a particularly mad season. Like Miranda and Steve's storyline is like the shred of sanity in like all the other madness. It's the most like normal and believable, and it's the easiest to identify with out of all the other shit that's going on. Yeah, I'd be there for him for his half court shot. I would.
I'm surprised Miranda wasn't. I mean, what a cool thing to be involved in. And she is disparaging. She's not very nice.
I know, and I'm trying to think if that actually aligns with her as a person. And I think it... As a person. But I think it does, in a way. I think that she's... Because she's so... I think she's so focused on, like, big picture, what is, like, the bigger goal. And I don't think she has much time for dreams, you know? Like, I think she's, like, quite a serious... Like, you know, she's always like, am I making partner? Like, I've made partner. What's, like, the next step? I think she's a very next step person. So I don't think that someone being like, I'm just doing this, like, fun thing and I could win, like, $500,000 or however much it is. Like, she doesn't really have time for that, which is...
Yeah, it's frivolous.
Sad. It's frivolous and she doesn't have time for frivolity, which is... She never has.
So in closing, let's attempt to answer Carrie's question. Although it's such an open one, which is in relationships, what are the deal breakers? I mean, I think it's a very personal thing and it's something that only our listeners can tell us. So please, dear listeners, do messages with your deal breakers. Please keep them clean. Thank you. We don't want to be banned from social media. I think, however, as we saw from Aidan in this episode, we should all be, I think, prepared to challenge our internal assumptions about ourselves. And I'm glad that Aidan gives Carrie a chance.
Next week, we've got Are We Sluts? So that's going to be fun.
next week, we will indeed be discussing Are We Sluts? I can certainly tell what my answer's going to be. But we will be joined by the very wonderful author, one of my absolute favourites. We're going to be joined by Holly Bourne on the podcast, author of Pretending. So please do join us next week. In the meantime, Candice, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it. And I also loved very much watching that episode back and being like... Wow, you've grown up, you've learned a lot of things since you used to watch Sex and the City. My God.
Do you know what? I'm not going to say what it's in reference to because it's a whole other conversation, but I saw somebody tweeting today, which is, it's okay to outgrow your teachers. And I was like, profound. It's okay to outgrow your teachers. There you go. And I think we can comfortably say we love Sex and the City. We will always love you, but we have surpassed you. Candice, where can we find you on social media?
I am at Candice C_W on Instagram and Twitter, that's the other one. Yeah.
We are at SIGTT Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and like and all that kind of admin, and we will see you next week. Thank you for joining us.
Bye. Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.